This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
This is the Championship Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, between 2 and 3 o'clock on this Monday afternoon. Plenty to talk about in the next hour. We'll be focusing this afternoon on Middlesbrough. Is Jonathan Woodgate under serious amounts of pressure? We'll be talking a little bit about Cardiff. Neil Warnock not happy the fact that Cardiff are playing on Friday night this week. We'll also be talking about Reading, who have just appointed a new coach. We'll be talking about that in the next hour. We'll also be talking a little bit about Brentford, who are struggling despite the fact a lot was expected of them going into the season. We'll also be looking back at the Rugby World Cup group stages, which are now done and dusted. We look ahead to the quarterfinals. One home nation out, Scotland out after losing to Japan, who won all four of their group stage games. Remember, if you want to get in contact with us this afternoon, call us on 0208 70 2558. This is the Championship Fan Show here on Love Sport. So plenty to talk about in the next hour. The big breaking news this afternoon from the Championship is that Reading have appointed Mark Bowen as their new head coach. He obviously replaces José Gómez, who was sacked last week. He has been their sporting director, but he is now their head coach. We've got a few WhatsApps in about that appointment of Mark Bowen. James, the Reading fan, says, Mark Bowen? Are the club completely out of ideas? Hello, League One. Dan from Reading says, what credentials does this man have? He's never managed a team. He knows the club, having been the sporting director for most of this year, but that lack of managerial experience, obviously he's been a right-hand man to the likes of Mark Hughes, but is that a real concern for Reading fans that Mark Bowen has such little championship managerial experience? So Mark Bowen has been appointed the new Reading head coach. A number of clubs looking for new managers. Barnsley are looking for a new manager after they sacked Daniel Stendel. Millwall are after a new manager after Neil Harris resigned. We believe that Millwall are interested in Gareth Ainsworth. They've approached Wickham over hiring their manager. So we'll be talking a little bit about that later in the hour. Also talking about comments by Andrea Ratrizzani, the Leeds owner. He says that Qatari investor could help Leeds United rival Manchester City. So we'll be talking about that later in the hour. Remember, if you want to get in contact with us, call us on 0208 70 2558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We are also on WhatsApp. So make sure you get in contact with us this afternoon. It's not just Premier League clubs that are sacking left, right and centre. It is also Championship clubs. As I mentioned, a few sides near the bottom of the Championship table at the moment looking for new managers. Barnsley and Reading, they've had tough starts this season. They've sacked their managers and they are looking for a new direction. Reading, as I said, have appointed sporting director Mark Bowen as their new manager. We're going to be talking a little bit about Middlesbrough now. Jonathan Woodgate is under pressure, but how much pressure is the former Middlesbrough man under? I'd like to say we're joined by Dominic Shaw, editor at Teesside Live. Thank you very much for your time this afternoon, Dominic. No wins in four games for Woodgate's side. So the big question is, should Woodgate be looking over his shoulder and is he under serious pressure of losing his job?
No, not at all. Not at this stage. I think there was an acceptance when Woodgate was appointed in the summer that it was the club were looking at the bigger picture and they had taken a short-term view, I guess, with not necessarily the appointment of Gary Monk, but you know the investment they made that summer, and then with Tony Pulis. Whereas they wanted to change tack in the summer when they appointed Woodgate, they realised that you know it wasn't necessarily going to be immediate success. And what I will say is I don't think they were braced for such as quite a disappointing start as they've had, but there'll certainly be no, you know, concerns at this stage. And although fans are obviously disgruntled and you know, that Birmingham performance was dreadful and so was the Sheffield Wednesday performance the week earlier, I don't think there's many fans. I'd be staggered if there was many fans seriously calling for change now, because, you know, sooner rather than later, you've got to look at at an issue beyond the manager, and there are problems there that Woodgate needs to address. There's no doubt about that. It's, you know, the shape doesn't look quite right, and the left side is being exploited again and again. But the squad isn't very deep beyond probably 12 or 13 players. You know, he's got kids like Steve Walker, the striker, on the bench most weeks. He's played one or two games for the club, so the squad isn't as deep as it has been, and it's very unbalanced, and it has been since that splurge from Monk that summer. They signed like so many of the same type of players, and they're well overstocked in certain areas, and they've got nowhere near as many players as they need in others. So that's a problem that Woodgate's touched on this season.
You say, Dominic, that Woodgate isn't under a massive amount of pressure, and I get that, but in reality, nowadays in football, there is a lot of short-termism, and Borough are just a couple of points above the relegation zone. If this continues, and even though Borough fans might not want to see Woodgate go, will ultimately results and position in the table dictate what happens? Because if in 6-7 games' time, Borough's poor form continues and they find themselves in the bottom three, will the Middlesbrough owners be forced into making a decision that they don't necessarily want to make?
I don't. Again, 6 games' time, I'm not so sure. I think, you know, if you got to February or March and you were in the depths of relegation trouble, then you might have they'd have a decision to make. Although by that point, is it too late? But I certainly do. I mean, there's a feeling, although the Birmingham and Sheffield Wednesday performances were dreadful, but there's a feeling that Borough, within the club, that Borough should have more points than they have. There were, I know we've touched on it before, the Brentford game early in the season where they were robbed of two goals, and there's been a few other games where circumstances have gone against them. They should have more points. So the feeling within the club is that, you know, that it's not as bad as the league table looks. In between those two games against Birmingham and Sheffield Wednesday, they got a point against a Preston team that are absolutely flying and should have won. But, you know, on the other hand, you look at the games coming up, the next four games, they've got West Brom, Huddersfield, Fulham and Derby, and that's a brutal four games. You know, as you say, if they were to lose, for example, all those four games, again, I don't think there'd be change, but you'd have a problem with the fan base then that'd be clearly disgruntled at the way things were going. I think the kind of issue that's difficult to deal with for everyone connected with the club this year is take out the Premier League season where obviously they were relegated. The last five or six seasons, certainly last season, the season before, and then the two seasons before that, Borough have been challenging at the top end of the Championship. So they used to be in the mix at the top. Now, this year, again, as I said, that there was a kind of an acceptance that mid-table wouldn't necessarily be a bad season this season if there was clear signs that the team were heading in the right direction in terms of changing the playing style and moving away from this kind of pragmatic style that they've played for the last 3 or 4 years. But then Woodgate now has a problem where, you know, he perhaps needs that bit of pragmatism and needs to make Borough hard to beat to stop the rot and to get back on track. So it's a balancing act for the manager really in the next few weeks.
It's interesting reading lots of the comments that Jonathan Woodgate has made post-games. For example, you look back to the defeat against Sheffield Wednesday. He bemoaned his side's terrible display after the game against Birmingham. He said that he was calling for his players to pull their fingers out, demanding his players to grind it out and find personalities. Is that, do you think, the right approach that Woodgate is taking, that he's being quite public with his criticism? It could be seen as constructive criticism, that it's not completely digging players out. Do you think that's the right way to go about it, that they're not in great form and he is demanding a real sense of commitment, kind of taking the talent part of it completely out of the equation?
Yeah, I think with the fans, that's perhaps slightly wearing thin, this kind of, you know, we need to give everything for the shirt and that sort of thing. Because I think, you know, the fans are looking and thinking, well, it's not necessarily commitment that's a problem. It's more the basic, like, stopping crosses and conceding from set pieces. But Woodgate knows the players as personalities, as people inside out, because obviously he played with a few of them at the back end of his career, and then he was on the coaching staff under Tony Pulis, and he worked with the under-18 side when Gary Monk was in charge. So he knows them inside out, and the players think so highly of him, love him, and that's still the case now. You know, with the atmosphere around the place when you go to the Boroughs training ground is still very positive. You know, having spoken to several players this season, none of them have a bad word to say about Woodgate on or off the pitch. On or off the record, both in terms of the way he is day to day dealing with the players and his coaching and his sessions. So I certainly don't think there's an issue with the way he's handled defeats. I think, you know, Woodgate, he's perhaps at times a little bit too honest for his own good. He's so straight talking and brutally honest. He was the same as a player. If he's seen a game and he thinks the performance is dreadful, he'll come out and say that. And I think the fans, you know, the other thing is, because he's a Teesside lad, because he lives in the area, he knows what the fans are saying. He knows what the fans are thinking. He knows what the atmosphere has been around the club for however many months. So he knows he can't, you know, you can't blag it. You know, he knows that he has to kind of tap into that. And I think he's trying to do that.
And just finally, then, Dominic, up next, as you mentioned, there are some difficult fixtures ahead and none more so than on Saturday. The only thing that would make it more difficult, if it was an away game, it's home against tabletoppers West Brom. Do you think this is the, in a weird way, the right type of game for Middlesbrough, even though it's the biggest test at this moment in time against the side that currently sit at the top of the Championship table, that a big game like that at home could be the stepping stone for something, for some momentum being gained?
Well, strangely, Borough's best performances this season are some of the best performances have come against the better teams. They were excellent at Bristol City before the September international break. Should have won there. And then they played well against Preston at home last week. But then obviously the problem was that was sandwiched between those two dreadful performances against Sheffield Wednesday and Birmingham. So I do think there's an element of that. On the other hand, the problem is, you know, defensively they've looked so shaky and shambolic in the last few weeks. You know, how do you keep out of West Brom side? But they've had a fortnight at Rockcliffe on the training pitches to kind of work on the blatantly obvious issues. And yes, it's daunting the way West Brom are playing. But as you said there, if you were to somehow get a well, not somehow, I think I'm overplaying it there. But if you were to get a result against West Brom, then you, suddenly there's a completely different look at things, isn't it? And then the fixtures to come has a different complexion. So I do think, I don't think there's any teams to particularly fear in this division at the minute. I know West Brom have looked good, but Borough have got so many players who've played at this level for so long and know exactly what's needed. I think it'll help that West Brom will bring a decent away following. You know, you don't see too many of them in the Championship, or Borough haven't certainly this season. So it makes a bit of an occasion for it, and hopefully Borough raise the game because they need to.
Thank you very much for your time this afternoon, Dominic. That was Dominic Shaw, editor at Teesside Live for Borough. It's not great times currently for Middlesbrough. They're 20th place on 10 points, just a couple of points above the relegation zone. But the feeling I get from up in Middlesbrough is that there is a sense of confidence in Woodgate, that they're not going to lose patience with him quickly and they're going to keep faith with him. A couple of other lines to bring you. We've got a couple more WhatsApps from Reading fans. Sarah says, we haven't won in 6 games. We need someone from outside the club, not more of the same. And Johnny said, we would have been better off keeping Gomes. I don't see us getting out of the relegation zone for the rest of the season. So quite a lot of negativity from Reading fans. And just one other Championship line to bring you, and it's another managerial situation. And is that surrounding Gareth Ainsworth? Millwall have held initial talks with Wickham over the weekend about hiring their manager, Gareth Ainsworth. The Championship club are understood to have made a formal approach for permission to speak to the 46-year-old and inquired about potential compensation. Apparently, Ainsworth and also Gary Rowett are the two names in the frame for the job of succeeding Neil Harris in the dugout. Apparently, Tim Cahill, also a former player there, is being considered as well. Ainsworth has also been given permission to speak to managerless Sunderland. Obviously, coach Alan Barrett has been put in caretaker charge and is expected to take the team to Brentford in the Championship on Saturday. Remember, if you want to get in touch, just call us on 0208 70 20 558. But up next, we'll be talking all things Cardiff.
Love Sport.
This is the Championship Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, up until 3 o'clock this afternoon. Remember, if you want to get in contact with us, call us on 0208 70 20 558. Before we talk a little bit about Cardiff, another Championship news line to bring you. And it's some comments from the Leeds United owner, Andrea Radrizzani. And he is considering three investment proposals, one of which he claims could help the club compete financially with Manchester City. He's confirmed that Qatari Sports Investment is interested in acquiring a stake in the Championship club after being linked with a potential takeover at Elland Road earlier this summer. QSI is led by Qatari businessman Nasser Al-Khelaifi and currently owned French champions Paris Saint-Germain. He says that two separate offers of outside investment are also under consideration, one from a Leeds fan based in the United States and the other from an owner of an unidentified Italian club. He says he's been approached by more than 20 parties and he selected these three. The option of Qatar Sports Investment and Nasser, first of all, they are friends. We'll have a good relationship for a long time. So potentially exciting times ahead for Leeds fans if the Qatari Sports Investment Group potentially acquire a stake in the Championship club. As I mentioned, we're going to talk about Cardiff now. I'm delighted to say we're joined by Glenn Williams, Cardiff City correspondent at Wales Online. Thank you very much for your time this afternoon, Glenn. Last time out for Neil Warnock's side, it was a 4-2 loss away at West Brom. Not a particularly kind of familiar Neil Warnock type of game where goals are flying in left, right and centre. What was the Cardiff reaction from that defeat at the table toppers?
Yeah, no, it was a strange one, Kieran. It was Cardiff started off quite well, first 10, 15 minutes, and West Brom were a little bit rattled. But they got a foothold in the game after about 15 minutes. And you could see as soon as Cardiff sat off them, they were so comfortable, to be honest. West Brom was so impressive. I thought they looked like a team that's really, really pushing for promotion this season. I'd be surprised if they didn't earn promotion automatically, actually. But once West Brom's front four really clicked and got into gear, Cardiff didn't really have many answers. Alex Smithies in goal, I gave him man of the match. He made four world-class saves, and the score was still 4-2. So it's strange. It's been a difficult one this season because the home form for Cardiff City has been promotion form and the away form has been relegation form. So it's been a bit of a strange one, a bit of a tale of two halves, really, in that sense. But West Brom were a really good team. But, Cardiff City, they just took a different beast away from home, and that needs to be sorted soon.
It's interesting you mentioned Alex Smithies there because I've been asking a few Cardiff fans over the last few weeks about the goalkeeping situation. That Neil Etheridge is now back fit again. He was probably arguably Cardiff's best player last season. Do you think after conceding four that Warnock might be urged to bring Etheridge back in or based on actually performances themselves taking stats out of the situation that Smithies deserves to maintain his place in this team?
Well, yeah, you're right. That is a big debate at the moment. And I think people who didn't see that game at West Brom, I think a lot of people are calling for Etheridge to come back in because I think they initially see that he shipped four goals and they think that he must have been at fault for some of them. But truth told, I mean, he let four goals in, maybe the third goal, the Charlie Austin goal, he could have done a little bit better with, but he made some absolutely world-class saves. He's been so good in Etheridge's absence this season. But you're right, Etheridge is a top operator as well, and there's a big school of thought that seems to think he might come in for the Sheffield Wednesday game on Friday. But again, that's Neil Warnock's decision. Personally, on performances, I think Smithy's been brilliant this season. I think it would be harsh to take the shirt away from him, but I could also understand if they did decide to throw Etheridge back in.
And Neil Warnock, after that game, said that he wasn't particularly happy with a few decisions going against his side. Now, Neil Warnock was quite vocal in his opinions. I mean, he has been throughout his career, but last season in the Premier League, he felt like Cardiff were really hard done by. And you think back to that game against Chelsea, where Chelsea were on the receiving end of some awful, awful decisions pre, obviously, the introduction of VAR. Do you think Neil Warnock's got a point that over the last 12 months in particular, Cardiff have been on the receiving end of some pretty poor refereeing and actually, in this kind of last year, it hasn't really balanced itself out?
Yeah, I think he has got a point. I think, like you said, he is one of the more vocal ones after games in terms of refereeing decisions. So whether other teams feel unjust and they maybe don't vocalise it is another conversation. But in particular reference to that West Brom game, there was one particularly bad decision, an offside, where I was right on the offside line, and Sean Morrison was actually the player offside and Robert Glatzel headed home and they judged Robert Glatzel to be offside. So that was an incorrect decision, and Warnock rightly said that would have put the game at 2-1 and you might have seen a very different West Brom side after that. Who knows? But look, I think football's one of those games where decisions are going to go your way, and they're not going to go your way. I'm sure if a few decisions went Neil Warnock's way, I'm sure he wouldn't be as vocal about it as if they don't go his way. So maybe you have to take that with a little bit of caution.
Looking ahead then to the next game, it's on Friday night at home against Sheffield Wednesday. Now, I saw these comments a couple of weeks ago from Neil Warnock that said that he was going to complain over the fact that Cardiff have to play a Friday night championship game immediately after the international break for the second time this season. Why do you think it is that the championship decides to give Cardiff this kind of Friday night game where there's not a lot of a turnaround after the international break, that surely it should be a case of you have it maybe once in a season and then it doesn't happen again?
Well, Neil Warnock is probably a big reason for that. I think the Sky cameras in particular love having Neil Warnock. He's always good value for money after the game and post-match press conferences and things like that. So I'm sure that has a bearing. But no, I think he's right to a certain extent. I do think it has been a little bit unfair, and especially after the last international break where they played Derby on a Friday night. And especially, I know Leandro Bacuna had a particularly bad week that week. His international teammate passed away while they were on international duty, and his flight back to the UK was delayed, so he arrived in the UK just 24 hours before that game against Derby, which Neil Warnock was particularly furious about. So I think he's just worried that that's going to be the case again. I know they've got players like Junior Hoylett away with Canada, and Neil Etheridge away with the Philippines, and it's not just like they're hopping over from Europe, you know, they're hopping over from all around the world, and they're important players. So I can see his point, and I do think maybe your suggestion there, maybe they should only do it maybe once a season and try and spread it out for each team to make it fair. So I personally think he's got a point. Yeah.
Do you think then that this could prove as a distraction in an important home game? Cardiff are looking to gain some momentum. They're kind of mid-table, so it's been a starts the season for Cardiff. So do you think that those types of comments getting riled up about the schedule might distract them from this game?
I don't think so. I think particularly at home, Cardiff have looked really strong this season. The last time they were home, the 3-0 win over QPR was a great result for them, and it acted as a massive confidence booster. And I just think for some reason, I don't know what it is, it's just clicking at home this season. And obviously they're not going to go the entire season undefeated, but at the moment their home form is the one thing stand them in good stead, so I can't see that being any different this Friday night, international break or not.
Thank you very much for your time this afternoon, Glenn. That was Glenn Williams, Cardiff City correspondent at Wales Online. Neil Warnock always provides us with some pretty good quotes, and he was already complaining 9 or 10 days ago about this upcoming game on Friday night, straight off the back of the international break. And I'm sure before that game, Neil Warnock will have plenty to say, and I'm sure afterwards he will also have plenty to say. We're having continued reaction to the announcement from Reading that Mark Bowen has taken over as the head coach after obviously being the sporting director and has now moved into that role to replace Jose Gomes. And the reaction continues to not be particularly great. There's a lot of negativity in regards to this appointment. Nick says that Mark Bowen is a snake. Pretty drastic stuff. Only appointed 6 weeks ago. What is his first meaningful decision? Sack Gomes and replace him with himself. Disgraceful. So maybe a little bit harsh on Mark Bowen, but there is not a lot of positivity of that appointment. Danny says this must be worth a boycott. Our club isn't talked about in the same breath as Newcastle, but this is right out of the Ashley playbook. So a lot of negativity, not a huge amount of confidence. Come on, Reading fans, give us a bit more positivity. Are there any Reading fans out there that are happy with this appointment? Call us on 0870 20 558 or WhatsApp us on that number to share your views. We want to at least see a couple of positive messages from Reading fans. So we're talking more about Reading after this.
This is Love Sport.
This is the Championship Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, between 2 and 3 o'clock this afternoon. Remember, if you want to get in contact with us this afternoon, call us on 0208 70 20 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We are also on WhatsApp. We've had plenty of Reading fans WhatsApping us this afternoon. Not a lot of positivity, if I'm being brutally honest. I think pretty much every WhatsApp we've had has been negative, to say the least. Not particularly happy with the news that Mark Bowen has been appointed as the new manager of the Championship Club. Obviously, he has been the sporting director, but now he is the man to replace José Gómez. Obviously, Gomes was sacked last week after less than 10 months in charge, Reading a third from bottom of the Championship without a win in six, and faced Preston at home on Saturday. Obviously, Bowen has spent most of his coaching career working under Mark Hughes, most recently at Southampton. Some interesting quotes coming out from the Royals' chief executive, Nigel Howell. I'll just read a few of those quotes out now. In the relatively short period of time that Mark has already spent at Reading, he has commanded respect and admiration from all who have worked alongside him. He came in at a critical period last season to help us retain our Championship status and has had an immediate impact. Not necessarily echoed by all the Reading fans. Obviously, it's the fourth managerial appointment in 18 months following the departures of Jaap Stam, Paul Clement and José Gómez. Bowen, who was Wales' assistant boss under Hughes between 1999 and 2004, arrived at the Medeski Stadium in March in a consultancy role. So even though the club are seemingly quite positive about it, the fan base are not happy about it, to say the least. We've got more messages from WhatsApp. Remember, you can WhatsApp us 0870205558. Ben says, not optimistic, but let's give Bowen a chance. We'll be more than happy to jump on the negativity bandwagon if he loses his first three games. It's kind of the nature of social media nowadays, isn't it? That people are keen to point out flaws early doors rather than maybe see the positives of it. Sarah has said, Paul Clement coming back would be better than this clown. Sporting director never looks good at our club. Pretty brutal comments. Come on, Reading fans. Show a bit of positivity. Are there any Reading fans that are happy? Were they, when they saw this news pop up on their phone or watching it on the television, did they think, yes, Mark Bowen is the new Reading manager? Is there a Reading fan out there that believes that is the case? Looking on social media and also the WhatsApps that we've had in this afternoon, safe to say not many people are particularly happy with this news. It's a big, big job at hand. As I said, without a win in six, a difficult game at home against Preston on Saturday, who are in the playoff spots at the moment. It's always this interesting case of whether an assistant can step up to be a manager. One of those former managers in the last 18 months, Paul Clement, is a perfect example of that. Spent so many years under Carlo Ancelotti, at Real Madrid and at Bayern Munich, was a terrific assistant manager. But obviously we can't really comment because we don't really know how he's going to do. We can't look ahead. We can't see ahead in time. If I could, I'd go and win the lottery if that were the case. But it just seems, I just don't think it works having an assistant who's worked in that role for so much of his career move in as a manager. There's a good reason why they're an assistant, not the manager. You, for example, think of Steve Holland, who's done brilliant things over the years at Chelsea and then is now working under Gareth Southgate in England. But would he really work as a manager? I don't think so. So that's the Reading story done with, but I'm sure we'll have plenty of reaction throughout the afternoon. Is there a Reading fan out there that's really happy with this news? Was there one that had a fist pump thinking, yes, we've got Mark Bowen in the club, he's now the manager, confidence is going to be flowing out of the Medeski? I get the sense from what we've heard this afternoon, I don't think there are many at the Medeski that are particularly confident in Mark Bowen's ability to be the new manager, but I think we have to reserve judgment. We have to wait and see how he does and wait until he's a couple of months, let's be honest, let's not be short-termism, towards the end of the season, I think, will be a better idea of whether Mark Bowen can really cut it as a head coach. That's the news, that Mark Bowen has agreed a deal to become Reading head coach and replacing José Gómez. We'll be back after this.
Love Sport.
This is the Championship Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, up until 3 o'clock this afternoon. Remember, if you want to get in contact with us, call us on 0208 70 20 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio, We are also on WhatsApp, so make sure you get in contact with us. As I said, we've had plenty of WhatsApp messages this afternoon, both about England in the first hour, some criticism of Marcus Rashford, also Reading after the news that Mark Bowen has agreed has become the new Reading head coach, replacing Jose Gomes. Quite a lot of negativity from Reading fans there. So make sure you continue to get in touch with us this afternoon, calling us on 0870 2558 or WhatsApping us on that very same number. We're going to be talking all things Brentford now, and I'm delighted to say we are joined by Mick Cabell, commentator for I Follow Brentford. Thank you very much for your time this afternoon, Mick. Last time out, it was a 1-0 loss away at Nottingham Forest. Considering how impressive a start Forest had made this season, was that disappointing a result?
It wasn't away, Kieran. There wasn't much between the two sides, and I think that's the story of the Championship. It was two very, very kind of competitive teams with not many chances. And on such games, one error, where we just lost a marker at the back post and Ben Watson volleyed in a fine shot, and that's 3 points. That is the difference between being third in the league and being 16th in the league. So it was a tight game. Forest worked very, very hard in the position they are. I'm just wondering if they can maintain this in the top six, but the Championship's all about momentum. So they may be the dark horses. They're a difficult team to beat, but there wasn't much between the two sides, Kieran, and I'm not saying that with a Brentford bias.
I remember at the start of the season when we were looking ahead, we were thinking, there was a lot of talk from people in general, from the media, that Brentford could really have a good season this year and really push forward, push for the playoff spots. At the moment, it is still only 11 games in and so long to go. But have you been a little bit underwhelmed, a little bit disappointed by the start? Or is it a case of this can happen at the start of the season? There is still so much time that you start getting a few wins under your belt and suddenly kind of being in 17th place will be a long distant memory.
Do you know what? You probably answered your question perfectly. I think there's a little bit of a combination of both. I think that there was such expectation that Brentford has spent heavily in the market that you think that with the quality of players that come in, that they just hit the ground running, Raya in goal, Pontus Janssen at the back. You've got players there that were good Championship buys. You know, everybody in the Championship said Brentford have been very shrewd in their purchases, and some of the foreign purchases, you know, made people sit up and take notice. I suppose in the second part of your answer and part of the question was, you know, can they put some wins together? Yes, they can. Do they have the quality on their day? They're a side to be feared in the Championship. The only thing that's going to make Brentford fly up the table is a bit of consistency. At the moment, Kieran, 11 games in, they're consistently inconsistent.
Consistently inconsistent. Love that type of a phrase. One big blow for Brentford is the news that Sergi Canos faces a significant period on the sidelines after suffering a serious knee injury. Of course, he signed a new contract in the last week or so until 2023. How significant a blow is that going to be, and how do you think that Brentford are going to be able to deal with his absence?
It's a blow. I think any major player that you have, or any player that plays more minutes and is not a fringe player, and Sergi is definitely that, is a blow. Anybody that suffers an injury that you're out for several months, that's going to shape your season. But the whole art of a Championship squad is that when one door closes for the season, another one opens. And we have people that we bought in, Valencia, a little winger. We've got Zamboric, and is a very promising, talented player that Brentford really think highly about. And sometimes you get this opportunity. You've seen it in World Cups, and you've seen it at major clubs where you think an injury is really going to derail their season, and sometimes it does. But on others, you've got players that pop out of nowhere. They then have the confidence that they've got a chance not just to be on the sidelines, but be playing minutes every week. And so, you know, you may get Valencia come through as a new name that Brentford signed in the summer with great hopes from Europe in Poland. And he comes through, and all of a sudden in the next 5 to 6 weeks, the Championship is saying, where did this little fella come from?
Looking ahead then to the next game after this international break, it is Millwall at home this weekend. We've had a WhatsApp in this afternoon. Ryan, the Brentford fan, says, I see this Millwall game as a turning point in the season, the sort of team we should have been beating on paper in the summer. With their result against Leeds, they'll be confident, but with managerial uncertainty, we need to use this as a springboard. Would you say that a win against Millwall this weekend could act as a springboard, or is that perhaps a little bit drastic to suggest that one win will suddenly change everything?
I think it just gives confidence, Kieran. I think that's the key to it. I think that you go next Tuesday night against Swansea away, and that's a really tough game. So you don't want to put pressure on yourself. These glut of games, I don't know about you, Kieran, but I feel with the international break, it's a very staccato start to the season. Unless you go up and running and you get a good run like somebody like Forest where they catch the eye, or West Brom, people are kind of still kind of treading water a little. So I think that this run against for Thomas Frank will say, you know, this is now getting into the guts of the season. This is where you can start to put a unbeaten run together, which is the old Neil Warnock phrase, isn't it? To get up that championship, you just don't lose games. And Brentford have just been losing too many games in the first 11. So I would say Millwall, a home win to use a springboard to go forward into the November and the December.
Thank you very much for your time this afternoon, Mick. That was Mick Cabell, commentator for I Follow Brentford. It has been an indifferent start to the season. It reminds me of a quote from The Apprentice last year, where a candidate was delivering some cakes that they had baked for a restaurant, and said the consistencies are generally inconsistent. And I think what Mick was saying, that Brentford have been consistently inconsistent at the start of this season. It's been a rather indifferent start for them. But they are 17th at the moment, and they're only on 12 points, 4 points above Reading, who have sacked their manager. So things aren't going brilliantly, and they've had to deal with that sense of expectation. A lot of people at the start of the season were putting them as one of the favourites to get promoted, or one of the favourites to get into the playoff spots. But the nature of the Championship, all it requires is two or three consecutive wins. And then suddenly that takes them on to 21 points, and they can be right up there just around, in and around the playoff position. So it's amazing how things can change. You look at Brentford's next four games. At first on Saturday, as we mentioned, it's a home game against Millwall. Then two trips, a tough one away at Swansea in midweek. Then a trip on a Monday night to QPR, who've made a surprisingly good start to the season. And then a home game against Huddersfield. If Brentford can have a good run through there, as I said, the look of the season, complexion of the season looks very, very different. Remember, you can continue to get in touch with us this afternoon, like Ryan, the Brentford fan that we're talking about, and also all those Reading fans that have been rather negative about the appointment of Mark Bowen. Call us on 0208 70 20 558 or WhatsApp us on that very, very same number.
This is Love Sport.